if you imagine flour and water making a ball of dough,
mm-hmm.
and then letting that sit for a while, because that lets the gluten form and get strong. And the gluten is the sort of the sticky, stretchy part of the dough. And if you can imagine putting that dough under a stream of water, then the starch washes out and you're left with the gluten. And with the starch, there's two grades of starch that are based on their molecular size. So there's, you know, clean white starch, and then there's sort of a junkier stuff and a bunch of other wonderful things that are in flour. And the process refined each stream to its best point, and then generally dried those products. Mm-hmm. So gluten, I think, you know, there's a sort of a gluten-free craze now,
but
gluten is really a truly a wonderful thing. If you imagine a hamburger bun, a good one versus a not so good one.
It's not a McDonald's bun, but say an A&W one.
Well, it's the strength of the hinge.
Mm-hmm.
The strength of the hinge is the gluten.
I see.
And in a lot of commercial bakeries, big ones, using gluten allows the company or the bakers to determine their best use of flour plus gluten to get what they want in the end, because you can beef up the quality of your flour with gluten.
Yeah.
Shaw's used to buy gluten from us. Not much, but they used to buy some. And the other thing that where gluten comes in particularly handy is for making breads with a lot of whole grains, and because you need that strength in order to let that loaf rise,
mm-hmm.
so that it captures the carbon dioxide from when the yeast is fermenting.
Mm-hmm.
So if you don't have a lot of gluten, it just kind of gets lost, and you have this sort of very heavy
mm-hmm.
loaf of bread, as opposed to being sort of light and airy and elastic and moist and, you know, mm-hmm. all those good things. So most of our gluten went into baking applications,